And folks, this is the time of the show where I go out around the world and find someone who's made a difference in the world, in the financial world, hopefully. And this week we have a return visitor, one that was very popular in 2012 when I had him on. His name is Ted Benna. Now, that name might not be familiar with you, but if you have a 401k, you have Ted to thank. Ted, welcome in.
Pete, it's certainly wonderful to be back to you. I can't believe it's been that long ago.
Where'd those five years go?
Wow.
Now, you are known as the father of the 401k, and you're in right outside of Williamsport, Pennsylvania. So I know where time goes, Ted. It seems like every single day I turn the TV on, there's a Little League World Series on again. I mean, time flies, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Now, let's talk about the 401k. You know, a lot of people have one. They didn't realize who invented it. Let's talk about just a brief history of the 401k as it relates to you.
Hey, Pete, there's myth and there's reality. The myth is I was sitting with my dark eye shades on reading the IRS code and found a paragraph no one had ever found before. And that's even appeared in print, but not because I... You know, said that's what happened. You know, it's called creative journalism. So, you know, what actually happened, Pete, is I interpreted this section in a very different way than what was ever intended. And kind of the fast version of it is what I brought to the table was the idea of an employer matching contribution and for employees to be able to participate actively in these plans by putting money into them on a pre-tax basis from their own salary. And, you know, neither of those ideas were included in the legislation, but you know what? There wasn't anything there saying thou shalt not. So I took the more aggressive approach.
Well, and you've done a great job inventing it. There's it's estimated over $3 trillion now in 401k plans. It's a lot of money.
That's for sure.
So, but lately you have been quoted by saying that it's almost not recognizable anymore as far as what you had planned for the 401k.
The two things, Pete, I guess, that come to mind. You know, the first one is the fact that it's now, for most people, the primary way for them to be saving for retirement. And, you know, it was never intended. Well, it's an accident. I mean, it's a fluke legislatively. So, you know, it was never intended to be the big thing that it is today, for sure. But it was definitely, you know, never intended to be the primary vehicle other than Social Security in terms of providing retirement security. You know, that's the one thing. And, you know, and the other thing that, you know, that troubles me, it's gotten much too complicated investment-wise and expensive for participants.
You know, Ted, I've been in the financial industry now for 25 years, and when I sit down with folks, especially people who call from the radio, and we sit down and analyze where they are right now in the financial world, many people have huge balances in the 401k or retirement plans, but they're not comfortable or happy because that balance doesn't translate to an income plan like a pension, like our parents used to have, where they knew when they retired they'd get a yearly paycheck. I spend a lot of time helping people take that lump sum and translate it into a yearly amount that they can get that they'll never outlive. I mean, that would make the 401k a real good vehicle, wouldn't it?
Certainly it would, Pete. And what you're doing with individuals is really critical because you're right. The average individual retiring doesn't have an idea of, well, now how do I convert this thing into something that has the potential of lasting the rest of my life? And, you know, as we both know, that's the wrong stage of life to blow it because you're never going to make it up, you know, if you screw up at that point.
Yeah. And folks, we are talking to Ted Benna. He is the inventor of the 401k way back in the late 70s. He invented it. And maybe early 80s. Well, I guess it was late 70s, wasn't it? Or 1981, I think, was the first one, right?
Well, it was actually in the fall of 1980 that I came up with the design, and the first plan became effective January 1 of 81.
So if you have a balance at all, you have Ted to thank. So it's good. Now, Ted, let me tell you about this now, and this was really troubling to me. I met with a nice couple a few weeks back. They had over $2 million built up for retirement. Now, this was in the stock market, and it was like a lump sum. And they had come in. They were talking about how their other planner had put this plan together, and they grew some money. But they were going to take $30,000 out when I was asking them what they were going to do in the future, because that's what I always do when I ask people on a first appointment, what's this money for? And he said, first of all, we need to take $30,000 out. I'm going to take the family to Aruba. And so, and I love Aruba. I'll tell you why. That's where my wife and I went on our honeymoon. So I've been to Aruba 8 times. All right. So let's picture this. $2 million balance, and he's talking about taking $30,000 out. I got excited. They'd never been there before. I started talking about all the great places my wife and I went on our honeymoon there. And as I was talking, the husband started to withdraw. And then he put his arms on his chest. You know how you just fold your arms? And I said, uh-oh, he's getting mad about something. Maybe he doesn't like the kind of beef I was talking about or whatever. So I said, wait a minute now, Mr. Jones, we'll call him. You don't look too happy about this trip. And the wife was all happy. And then she looked at him like, what's going on? And he said, Coach, it's not that I'm not happy about it. I'm going to take $30,000 out of my account that I'll never replace. And this is the money that's got to be here for the rest of our lives. So that is the power of having an income plan built into a lump sum plan. So later on, we talked through it and we got him an income plan put together. And now he's happy because he knows that he can have money to spend and not worry about outliving the money. But what I found out, and I learned a good lesson there, it doesn't matter how much of a balance people have, if they don't have a guarantee in place that they're going to have an income for the rest of their life, they're not going to outlive, it really doesn't matter how much they have. Because he had over $2 million, and he was worried about taking $30,000 out.
Well, you're right on the money there, Pete. You know, that's certainly a perfect example of why you need to get a plan in place and understand how it's going to work for you. You might be living for 20 to 30 years, and that's a long time, and just kind of willy-nilly taking $30,000 of it out before you nail down a plan that you feel comfortable about is a gigantic mistake.
Well, we were able to build them a plan that would give them at least $100,000 a year for the rest of their lives, both husband and wife, and never worry about it, plus leave a lump sum to give to the kids and grandkids. So it turned out to be a happy ending, but he was worried. And I was worried, too, because I looked like I was making him mad, and he was bigger than I was. Coach Pete's not a big guy. So, but let's look now. The 401k, great invention when it started. It's been abused a little bit. Not as many options in there that they should have a lot of times, and no income. But then Congress introduced something last year, or not, DOL, Department of Labor did, called the fiduciary standard. And you think that's gone way off course, hasn't it?
Certainly there's a need to make advisors who are involved with these plans, at the plan sponsor and participant level, more accountable, certainly, as you would agree, Pete.
Right.
And, I've been in this business. I started in the retirement business in 1960, and I've always considered myself to be a fiduciary, even if I wasn't one legally, because I was involved with decisions that affected people's retirement. And, that's a fiduciary type of responsibility. So the fact that advisors for years have been able to be in the position they are without that type of accountability is a huge mistake. But, the problem here, Pete, is, as you're well aware, I mean, I don't know what there are. I mean, there are, tens of thousands of people who call themselves financial advisors
right.
in this field. And all of a sudden, just printing a new business card that says you're a fiduciary doesn't begin to get you in a position to be act like one. I mean, that takes years, to build those kind of skills.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, and I see it. They pop up like dandelions in the summertime, all these guys claiming to be fiduciaries and they're not. I mean, one of the first things is to make sure the advisor is a 65 license, it's an investment advisor. But I've seen guys that have all the licenses that basically take people's money and do the wrong thing with it, too. So you have to really trust your instincts these days, don't you?
You need to have a lot of confidence in who you're working with. And for sure, you need to be careful that you don't get misled. I mean, most people are smart enough, Pete, to if something sounds too good, they should walk away from it.
Right. It's a complicated world. I think we can agree on that. The 401k plan, what would you advise someone who is just starting out work? I mean, that's about the only savings vehicle that people can do systematically through their paycheck these days.
Well, yes. And, I've learned over the years that the greatest benefit actually of 401k is it converts spenders into saving by making it automatic, coming out of your paycheck each pay period and growing and building up. So, you got to be an idiot, frankly, if you have that opportunity available to you and you don't take advantage of it.
Yeah, and especially with the matches, I mean, you can build it up. But building is not preserving. And so we call it the financial crock pot. You need to have some money you put aside, and it's going to be there. My wife uses a crock pot all the time in the wintertime. In the morning, she puts the food in, and the dinner time we get home, the house smells real good, and there it is. It's all done, and we have no worries. And I think people need to make sure that once they have that lump sum, they convert that into what we call a never plan. Never worry about it again, and get it in that place where you get that income for the rest of your life.
Hey, Pete, I got a final comment. I bet your wife had a plan when she threw the stuff in the crock pot, right?
More than I would have.
So the problem here is people need to have a plan and get help to build a good one.
Absolutely. Well, Ted, hey, it's been great talking to you. Thanks from all of us in 401k plans for your invention. Folks, if you joined this interview late and want to hear it again in its entirety, you can always go to financialsafari.com. We'll be right back after this.